I had to think of a verse in Acts 14. It's when the chapter there in Acts 14, it talks about the disciples. They preached the word in one city and they moved on and preached the word in another city. And then in verse 27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Kind of describes maybe the maybe they were furlough, or maybe was going back home for a time. It says that, and there they abode long time with the disciples. And maybe that can be our experience this weekend, that we can rehearse the things that God has done. We can talk about that, what God has done in the time when he, wherever he had placed you. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to read, I think I'll read the whole chapter before I get started here. It's my title I have here is Continuing with Purpose. You know, I believe we, when we embarked or when we went out on our missionary journey or mission, wherever we went, we had a purpose then. And obviously, this is a return missionary seminar, so those of us that are here return. But can we continue on with that? God has a work for us to do. 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I'm not going to make a whole lot of very many comments on it, but it's just this chapter, just as I was thinking of this message, I had to think of the ministry that we have today yet. And you know, maybe we don't see everything that's happening. And sometimes we may wonder, what is our purpose? You may have found yourself in the place of returning. Maybe it was because of, you served a couple years, or maybe it was because of aging parents. That was somewhat part of our reason for returning. Our parents were getting older, and came to help them or help our families with them. Maybe it was, it could be maybe for health issues, maybe finances, maybe it was just a change of call and direction. God called you back, and so I believe that it's important, or we found it was important for us to know why we're coming, or that God called us to come back, so that we don't doubt it when we're back. Even though it seems like, still sometimes, you know, you wonder, is this really where God, or is this really where I want to be? But so I guess the question is, how do we navigate all this? And this weekend, with the topics that we have, I hope that we can be encouraged, be some direction given with that. There's going to be a time for introduction after this message here, and each family will have time to come up and just introduce yourself, and we'll do that, but I'll have my family come up, but I'll probably bring that into my message here some. We were in Belize from 2004 to September of 2014, and after 11 years being back in the U.S. or in America again, I can only say that we haven't done everything perfectly, haven't done everything right, probably didn't always have the right attitude and so on, and God still working in my life on these things and in some of those areas, but I believe God, I'm confident that this is where God wants us at the present. And maybe still sometimes feel kind of confused, or when people start asking you questions, you know, is this really, or why did you come back, or, and some of those just kind of makes me almost second guess, and there's times when things hit us in different ways at different times. And I'll just, a couple months ago, we had a family that was from our church that was going to Nicaragua, and Alberts are here, and they had served there, so they came to church that Sunday morning, and he was showing some pictures and the work that they did and talking about it. And yeah, there was just something about it when he was doing that 11 years later, and it just, I don't know. It just kind of hit me again. You know, is there a purpose for being where I am? And I had to remind myself, yes, there is. And this weekend, I hope we can remind each other and encourage each other in that way. You know, some of the things, the lifestyle, some of that. And for us, it was you know, pretty easy for us. With our children were with us. They had friends there. And we basically raised, some of our children there. Today we have 4 children living there that are married. We have 12 grandchildren in Belize. And so we still go back occasionally. So I have, as I was thinking of that, of, you know, sometimes we have continuing with purpose, and sometimes we wonder, is there a purpose in what God wants us to do? I have just a couple pictures here I'd like to show you, if I can get this thing working here. That's a little fuzzy. This is a picture I got off the internet. Does anyone know anything about this ship? It's the the SS United States ship. It's a ship that was built in 1952. It was almost 1,000 feet long. It 10 feet longer than the Titanic, weighed 1,000, weighed a little more than what the 10,000 tons heavier than the Titanic. This ship was built. It still holds the record for the fastest transatlantic voyage by passenger ship to cross the Atlantic. It carried over 1 million passengers across the ocean. It was built in 1952, and it was used only for 17 years, and then it was put to rest, partly because of the air traffic and some of that air travel. It was some of that. And from what it would say that today yet this ship holds the record fastest ship crossing the Atlantic. Now, the thing that caught my attention about this ship, or why I looked into it, about a year ago, I went down to the port to get a trailer to take a container. We filled a container to send down to Belize. And so we went down to the port to get one of the trailers to put the container on. And when we were down there, we saw this ship. This is the same ship. And we were there and we inquired about, wondered what this, a huge ship there. And they were getting ready to move this ship. While we were there that day, they were working at it, taking some of the things off the inside. And that ship sat there from 1969, was sitting there at the port. They were trying to decide what they want to do with it. And so they, one time they thought they'd build a restaurant in it. It was going to cost millions of dollars. So what they did with it was they finally decided what they're going to do is they're going to take it down to Florida. Okaloosa County, if I said that right, Florida. They took it down there and they sunk it for an artificial reef. And they just did that within this last year. And I don't know how that ship felt, but if we go back to, it looks pretty good there. This thing's been, probably was, first this was the maiden voyage going, and I had to think, is that how we are? And then maybe served for a while, and soon we feel like there's no purpose. They didn't need it anymore. And so that thing was sitting there for a while, and then they pulled it down. And this is the ship, you know, but there's still a purpose for that ship. They expect it to bring in millions of dollars a year for people to go diving into this thing and into the different compartments of this ship. And yeah, the reason it was just when I saw the ship there, it drew my attention, and we asked a little bit about it, and they told us what's happening, so I researched a little bit more. But sometimes we feel maybe like our work is done when we come back from the mission field. But let's not be. I think God has a work for us even after we come back. Well, I know he does. And before, maybe I'll use the term embarking, thinking of the ship, embarking on our mission journey and going out. You know, it's an adventurous journey of missionary work, and I don't know if we heard the words, have you counted the cost to this? You know, what's it going to really, how's it all going to pan out? I don't know if we, when we went, if we actually counted all the cost. I know that we went with a family of little ones, and soon it was time we felt God calling us to come back, and we brought a family of adults back. Imagine putting five of your children into the youth group, and the youth group wasn't that big, and almost changing the whole youth group because of here comes this family with five youth. But anyway, you know, as we went, we were ready to take what God wanted us to do. And we, coming back, we soon realized that it's a lot harder coming back than it was to go. Probably there were false expectations of life. You know, as I was coming back, thinking that things would be pretty much where they were when we left. And even if you're gone for a year or 2 years, things can change a lot in that time. I remember coming back and going to the hardware store, and I was just totally overwhelmed. We went to Home Depot, was built over the time just next to us where we live now. And in Belize, there was nothing like that at that time, and I was just overwhelmed. I was doing some remodel work, and I wanted to put some drywall up. I had no idea what for screws to use. And I had a good friend, Dan Smoker. I called him different times. I said, I'm here in the hardware store. What should I get to do the job I want to do? And he would, on the phone, kind of help me through, because it was just, and that's the culture shock, I think, that we can go through at times. And I know that it's probably different places where you go. Even grocery store, walk through the grocery store and try to figure out what for, I mean, a whole aisle of cereal. You know, what do you buy if you want to buy some cereal? But I think that as we think of all of this, what we need to do is hold on to our true identity. Being a missionary can become more than a career, more than a title. It should define who we are, whether we're in Belize, Ukraine, Nicaragua, Africa, wherever we are. We should, or if we're here in America, it should be our identity in Christ. It defines who we are. And when we can no longer lay claim to the title of being a missionary, you know, in a sense, it almost, when you come back, you try to figure out who you are or what you're doing. And that's, like I said, when we need to remember that we are a child of God, a disciple, a servant, a follower, and a witness of Him. No matter what our vocation is, no matter what we do, you are, who you are is defined by so much more than a description of your last prayer card. And let's hold on to our true identity in Christ. I think another point that I have learned or tried to learn, and that is to offer grace to others and to myself, or do it to yourself. You've changed, others have changed. The place where you're moving back to has changed. And it's good to avoid to try to bring judgment on people because of how they do things or what they do. And, you know, one culture, and we had to learn that when we went, to not try to take our culture along and put it on them. So when we come back, sometimes we have to Yeah, there are things we learn that are good, we want to keep, but we don't have to try to bring that culture back in to this culture. But we need to, again, practice the adapting to another culture, to become a learner of a new culture, the culture that maybe you were a part of, or your sending culture. And in all of this, to be kind and to be courteous, to be kind to yourself and to others, and also to realize that others maybe are, when they say some things, don't really mean how it sounds. Allow yourself time to grieve the loss. It is a loss. Especially if you've made friends and you've had a church, and it is a loss. It is, but also look at it as you have gained more. You have gained friends. Another point is minister wherever you are. Maybe take a little time to rest, time to heal, but get involved. Get involved in the work of the church. Get involved if there are ministry outreaches in the area that you can get involved in, do that. We had, while we lived in Belize, we had taken care of a number of little children that we had in our home. One we had up to a year, another one a couple months. So my wife, she always enjoyed children, and she thought, what's a home without a two-year-old? And when our youngest child turned two and soon was three and four, well, about at that time we got a monkey and had a monkey in our house for a while. And so we thought that's kind of taking the place of the two-year-old, maybe entertaining and had some fun and needed to discipline it. But anyway, the monkey, we were on furlough. The monkey sitter's neighbor's dog came and killed the monkey, so that was the end of the monkey. But then we had these babies, these young children that we took care of after that. And we came back. My wife was, what do I do now? Marion was wondering, is there purpose? And there again, we prayed about it, and soon wasn't long till somebody wondered if you'd want to take care of our little child, a baby. And so that was part of her life, and still is, ever since we're back. It's had a number of them that took care of over the years. But I believe if we find purpose, there's ways of ministering, there's ways of reaching out. Maybe your church has children's ministry or something that you can get involved in. You can let the dust collect on your suitcases, but don't let it collect on you. Be involved, get involved, be active in the work of the Lord. Maybe it's going, visiting people, and I know it seems like our work schedule here is just more demanding than when we were in the mission field. You know, you would be involved. I mean, that's kind of what you were supposed to do, go and visit and maybe also do some work, but can just be a little more demanding here. Then encourage others to tell their story. When you come back, we have a lot of things to talk about. And soon you find out that, are the people really interested in it? Maybe at first, but soon it seems like they don't know the people you're talking about. And that's another one of the cross-cultural things when you go into another culture, when you go there and things happen back home with your family and they don't know them, and the people you're ministering to don't know them, and then you come back to your home area and you start talking about things that are happening where you were, and they don't then the people don't know them. So sometimes it's good to just ask other people their story instead of trying to tell my story all the time. And we can encourage each other by listening. And God's been at work. I've found out that God was working in people's lives here. It's not just there where he works in people's lives. Coming back to the church that sent you, sometimes it's hard to relate to the culture that I once knew and no one seemed to be interested in. I talked a little bit about that. But now suddenly it seems like home isn't safe. You don't know where home is. You don't know. You feel like you're kind of in a box by yourself, maybe kind of isolated, because where do you go? Who do you talk to? Really, it's no one's fault, and I think we need to learn not to blame ourselves either. I don't know if you had a debriefing or had a re-entry thing in place when you returned. I think it may be good if we would do that more. I know for us, it was kind of coming back and hoping that you could just fit back in, which it takes some time to do that. But by God's grace, I think we can do that. Through it all, he made known his love, provided all that we needed, took us through a process of healing from wounds and things that maybe sometimes felt very unsettling. But there is life after being in mission or being on the mission field. And that life is that it can be right here. I've just jotted a few things down here. God is always interested more in us than what we can do for him. And you know, God wants to work a work in our life. When at our farewell there when we were in Belize, there was this one church brother that over the years we had little things to work through, and he when he gave a little talk there, he said we're going to miss Brother Ben, but he said Brother Ben has learned a lot since he's here. And I said, amen, yeah, I did. I learned a lot. And thanks to that brother, he was probably one of them that put me through some things to try me out. But God wants to use missions to work in my life as much as he does in me work or in working in other people's lives. God is always interested in you. His main goal in everything that happens to our lives, good or bad, is to know him more intimately. We want to know him and know we are safe in him no matter where we are. When we're with him, we're home. He's our father. It's just like when children come home and they, especially young children maybe, are so glad to be at home with their mom and their dad, be home with father. When we're with our Heavenly Father, we can be at home. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give us rest in the turmoil that we go through, the things that we face. Your identity is not the mission, but as a child of God that transcends what you do, where you do it, and how you do it. It's not, our identity is not in the mission, but as a child of God. And this can get very difficult and painful because we sometimes want to confuse our career, maybe to to bring our identity and not really truly who we are, that God wants to be that for us. Just because you're no longer on the mission field, that does not mean you are no longer a missionary. I believe all of us were to be ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're called out to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, his feet, to bring encouragement to those around us. And that's what brings fulfillment in life, what brings joy. I believe if we're doing it, I think we need to be careful with that as we serve people that we don't, if we're doing it and thinking that now we have accomplished something because I have done something, I think it should be more that we're doing it for God. We're doing it unto him because we love him and we care about him. Receive grace for yourself and be gracious to your church. I think we need to surrender our expectations of them meeting our needs. But as a church, I think when people come back home from the mission, we should be there to do what we can. I guess that's not our topics here tonight or this weekend, is not of how we should reach out. But I think maybe as individuals, from what we have experienced, as we see people coming back or as we see people going through that, we can, we should be compassionate with them. But I guess I'm speaking to those that don't put your expectations on your church to the place where you think that they need to meet your needs. But look to God. Look to God for those needs and to bring that joy and that peace. And even when you feel all alone, I know it doesn't feel good to be alone, but when we do, let's turn to God. Finally, I want to encourage you. May I say you global nomads or co-workers in Christ, all that you've gone through and all that you've experienced, God has given you tools that you can bless others. He has given you some valuable skills and experiences that God wants to use here at home or where you call home, whether it's back in the mission field again or in another country or if it's in somewhere in the States here. God wants to use you here, wherever you are. It requires you to sit at his feet and to learn to wait on him. As Mary and Martha sat at the feet of Jesus and he ministered to them, and they found, it was Mary that sat there at the feet of Jesus. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus to find our true identity in Christ. I'd like to read a scripture yet in Philippians 3. Just a couple of verses, you don't need to turn there. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." God wants us to continue on, to press forward. I know the experiences that we've had, we still maybe like to talk about them, and that's good. But let's not dwell on those experiences to carry us through in our Christian life or to carry us through in giving us joy or feeling like we have done our work. But it says there, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Let's be an example to those around us, wherever we are, an example of a follower of Jesus Christ.